Hey everyone, it's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digsy, the one-stop shop for commercial real estate lead generation, marketing, etc. Today I've got a awesome guest, got Craig Gabardella, and him and I have connected online many times, and he's got an interesting story to tell us and share some tips, tricks, hacks, and that he's learned in his commercial real estate career to help us all be successful. And Craig, thank you for coming on the pod, man.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, totally. So I like to come out of the gate driving value to the audience here. We have brokers that listen to this podcast or watch the podcast. We have property owners, investors, developers, people in commercial finance, people in property management. So what three things would you attribute your success in commercial real estate too?
So I think for me, one of the first things is become as organized as possible, right? And whether that's using a CRM system, any type of technology that you can use out there to really help organize your business so that you can handle more clients, you can get out proper phone calls, proper emails, whatever it might be, is really be as organized as possible and use as much technology out there to help you be as organized as possible. The second, in terms of actual meetings, when you're trying to land clients, I think for me, it's really just about preparation, right? And I think about every meeting that I go on, every presentation, whether it's in person, whether it's Zoom, it's about preparing for that. And I think about every meeting as if it's, say, game seven of the World Series or the Super Bowl. And just how to prepare as much as possible with as much information you can gather about the client, their properties, their goals, even the person themselves, who their favorite sports teams are, anything like that, and just preparing for that meeting as best you can and providing as much value as you can. That's really the kind of the second thing that I do, and really the third thing is preparing how to execute the business. So once you win the business, what's your plan of attack on how to actually execute that business? Whether it's a client that's looking to expand into other markets, or whether it's a client that has vacant space and needs to be leased up, what's the plan? How are we going to execute that and communicate that to the client? Those are really the three things. So organization, preparation, and then execution. That's really what my day is focused on.
Would you mind sharing with the audience what type of commercial real estate specialties and what side of the business you focus on, whether it's like, on the listing side, tenant rep side, et cetera?
Sure. I lead a team at TSCG. So folks are familiar with TSCG, formerly the Shopping Center Group. I lead a team there called TSCG MD. And we solely focus on healthcare. So we're a HIPAA compliant team, and we focus on working with health systems to take a data-driven approach to help them to create a patient-focused real estate footprint. And we also use data and analytics to work with property owners to help lease their space to medical tenants. So all the data and analytics work that we do on the healthcare side, it really gives owners that property a voice that speaks to the medical community in a way that resonates with C-suite executives at the health systems or strategy and business development teams or their real estate department. And we're probably 50-50 in terms of working with tenants that are looking to expand into new markets. And we work with major property owners that need help leasing their space to good medical tenants. So that's what my team is focused on, and it's probably a 50-50 split at this time.
And can you give us a little bit of insight as to what part of the healthcare market your customers line? Are there doctors? Are there therapists? Are there dentists? Can you give us a purview into what you specialize in?
Sure. So we kind of run the gamut. So we can work with any major health system that's out there. So folks like a Cleveland Clinic, a Yale New Haven Health, a Hartford HealthCare, all the major health systems, down to working with a primary care group or plastic surgery group that has 2,000 square feet of space that needs, you know, three or four more locations. So we really, you know, kind of run the spectrum and working with folks that want to repurpose boxes and put a lot of clinical and subclinical specialties into vacant Macy's or vacant Toys R Us's or whatever, you know, vacant Bed Baths, whatever large boxes are, down to small, you know, inline shops that a dental group will take or an end cap that, you know, that a dental group might take, down to, you know, small plastic surgery groups. So we service a wide range of users and a wide variety of square footage that they need as well.
Great. So switching gears a little bit, throughout your career in commercial real estate, what counterintuitive things have you learned or discovered or uncovered that have helped you A, generate more business and B, close more deals?
Sure. I think not preparing or not understanding the client when you make that initial cold call can be very detrimental, and not focusing on and having a focus plan of attack on a daily basis, meaning, hey, from 9 to 12, I need to make 25, 30 cold calls. And if you don't hit those goals, that's detrimental to your business. So really having a plan of attack, or not having that plan of attack and not executing that plan can be really detrimental to growing your business. So I always try to stick, even just writing it down on a piece of paper or using an Outlook calendar, whatever it is, just stick to that plan on a daily basis. It is very helpful to growing your business. So being unorganized is detrimental. Maybe not having a specialty that you want to go after. Do you want to focus on healthcare? Do you want to focus on financial clients? Do you want to focus on industrial? I think having a specialty and really immersing yourself, not only on the real estate side of that, but understanding that business in general. So for healthcare that I specialize in, I'm a member of HFMA. I'm a member of MGMA, Society for Healthcare Strategy, and understanding what are the nuances in healthcare, what's happening on a daily basis, you know, what does that mean for health systems? So really becoming an expert, not only on the real estate side, but on the side of business that you're focusing on as well. Really focusing on that and not, you probably need a mentor if you're starting out, you know, getting onto a larger team, maybe at a larger shop and really gaining their knowledge and their sales tactics. I come from a healthcare sales background. So I've presented and sold into the C-suite of health systems and payers across the U.S. So I was trained by certain folks on how to sell, how to go through the sales process. So really just understanding that you're not a real estate broker. You're also a salesperson. You're an educator, and learning the sales process for that as well, I think is very helpful.
You know, I found something interesting that you were mentioning, and I think most people, I want to highlight it because it's really important, is a mixture of preparation, intelligence, and being around people like organizations and being able to consume that industry, like information in that industry, because it makes you a resource. So when you're reaching out, you may not be reaching, you can use like these, you can almost use like a tool belt, like, hey, I want to connect with this C-suite person at this organization to have a realistic conversation, but they're getting bombarded by commercial real estate brokers. What can I do to add value? And, you know, maybe you have a report from one of these organizations and it's their industry. And you can say, hey, Bob, I wanted to reach out. I'm part of this organization here. Here's a report that I think you might find interesting. And would love to chat with you because I have clients who are in this industry that we've been helping move or open up, expand to other locations. And I can tell you what other companies are doing in this sense. So then you create kind of like, oh, I want that information about my competitors, right? One thing I had learned, funny enough, one of the this woman had started in commercial real estate, worked for Lee and Associates like I did way back when, and she left, moved to the Bay Area and started working for Salesforce. And we had lunch, I want to say like 7 years ago, maybe 10 years ago now. And it was, and I said, hey, so how do you guys sell? And she says, literally, we just call the prospect and tell them what their competitors are doing. And we book an appointment
Right.
because they want to find out what they're doing. And that opens
Sure.
up, because if their competitor is doing something, they want to have the advantage. So I think that's brilliant. I don't see enough brokers. I don't see any brokers really doing that. And kudos to you for having that insight on that. Now, deals, getting the customer or getting the assignment, right? Whether it's a listing or a tenant rep assignment is your first close, but you don't make money then. That's hard enough. But then
Right,
you have
right.
to fulfill the business to actually make a living. So you actually have two sales cycles. So that's why a lot of people tend to churn. So whenever, if you have 10 new agents starting or brokers starting at a firm, usually about 7 to 8 of them churn within the first 2 years. So you end up with two. It's a hard business because you have two sales cycles, really hard to get the business, and then you have to fulfill it. And you
Right.
don't get paid until that happens. So long sales cycle. You're talking about, you know, 6, 8, 12, 13, 18 months. If it's a larger project, you're looking at maybe 3 years. So deals, even if you find the property, there's always some hair on something, right? Not every deal is easy. And trying to get it past the finish line, have you ever found have you ever been on the side of doing a difficult deal that you think you weren't going to close, but you somehow had some creative or an insight on how to get that close? Like, do you have any examples of that? I'd love to hear a story.
I think it's more about understanding the customer's expectations or the client's expectations about their overall business goals and how real estate plays a function in achieving those business goals. And that can help to alleviate some of the missteps that you have along the way. So when we work with health systems, right, the health systems want to, as you mentioned a little bit, they want to know what their competitors are doing. So we do a lot of work in helping them to analyze where their competitors are located and what the potential revenue is that a health system get by it, by moving into where their competitor is located. And we look at that revenue line by clinical lines of service. So how many cardiology appointments are done in certain zip codes or certain counties? How many oncology patients, all those clinical lines of business. So when working with a health system, we provide all of that data to them. When they're actually going to look at a deal, or a property, they want to understand what are the strategic benefits for their patients in going to this site, and what is the convenience of care for that patient. So, and how does that site help to make that patient experience easier for that patient that's going to that site to get care? So we look at a lot of survey result data from health systems and what their patients are lacking in terms of services from that health system, or how to better their experience. And more often than not, real estate plays a factor in that. So really achieving, to answer your question, a difficult deal, if we're taking a vacant grocer or we're taking a vacant bed bath that a traditional retailer might not be interested in anymore, we really present that to the health system in a way that answers a lot of the questions that the C-suite has and really mitigates some of the issues and challenges that you might see when you're in a deal process. So I haven't personally had any challenges yet, so to speak, because we do so much due diligence and we're only looking at maybe one or two sites. But really the challenge is presenting those sites in a way that resonates with the decision makers at these health systems and how it really can increase patient satisfaction and patient outcomes. How can that patient be healthier? How can patients of your health system be healthier by having a strategic site located near your competitor or maybe in a new area that you're developing into? So I haven't experienced any of those challenges yet. I'm sure I will at some point, but we do a lot of due diligence beforehand to help mitigate those challenges and surprises during the deal process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. If you could go back in time, let's say to your first 2 years in commercial real estate, what would you do different?
Yeah, I would be more focused and I would be more specialized, right? Or maybe I would join a larger team and really understand that team, how it operates, and how that leader grew from, say, his first 2 years to his 30 years and really dominating the market, and understanding how that person went from, you know, a single person to a team of 30 brokers. How did that happen? Really, really be like a sponge and ingest all of their knowledge. So really, if you just show up, I think, at a real estate shop and you're just going to make cold calls and business development, you might have some success, but really understanding your client and understanding that client's business, and outside of real estate, what are their business challenges? Really being focused on that helps to, I think, become a more successful broker. I now listen to health systems and other healthcare providers, like their earning calls, what's happening internally, to try to help their real estate mitigate some of the issues that they're facing on a daily basis. So you can learn a lot by research and reading financial statements and reading all different types of research that's available to you to help really understand that client and to help really shape your pitch. So, and I probably would have made more educated cold calls than just saying, I'm going to make 50 a day. Maybe you make 10 really focused, highly targeted sales calls with a lot of knowledge behind that and a lot of preparation, more so than just picking up the phone and calling. I would also learn certain markets as well and learn who the dominant players are, learn more about rents and driving factors behind rents and leasing velocity, all those terms. I would say for the first 2 years is to be like a sponge and really learn and educate yourself on real estate and how to make good, effective cold calls.
That's awesome. Going back to the beginning of when we first started this conversation, you had mentioned that technology plays a large role in your success. Would you mind sharing, you know, what your technology stack looks like what CRMs you're using, what email marketing, what other tools you're using, whatever you feel okay sharing, because I was
sure,
a broker. So there are some things we want to hold close to our vest.
Yep. I've used a lot of different CRMs. I've used things like Salesforce. I've used things in the past like HubSpot. I now use Pipedrive because it's simple. For me, it's easy to put in the contact information. It's easy to categorize it based on different lists that you want to create. It integrates with Zoom Info, which I use for gathering leads. So we use Zoom Info, we use Pipedrive, you know, the commercial real estate programs like a CoStar, a LoopNet. We're also members of what's called the advisory board. And the advisory board is a healthcare think tank, so to speak, which we have access to thousands of healthcare data points and healthcare subject matter experts that we utilize on a daily basis. We also are members of things like the American Hospital Directory, which we have access to their technology and all of their healthcare claims data, which we utilize. And simple things just like Microsoft Outlook and calendar, and really understanding how to color code your calendar so that you're more organized. We use a Zoom telephone system, so all the contacts are organized through Zoom. So yeah, we constant contact for email marketing is good. So Pipedrive, Zoom Info, Constant Contact, Advisory Board, American Hospital Directory. Those are all the things that we use on a daily basis. Esri, we utilize business analyst tools are the things that we use on a daily basis as well.
Are you using social media in any way, shape, or form?
I use LinkedIn a little bit to post relevant healthcare news articles, but I'm not a regular contributor as much as I should be. So that's part of my team's goal, is to improve our social media presence, and would love to also speak more on industry-wide events. So I've spoken at an ICSE conference in Florida as part of their medical real estate panel. Medical retail panel. potentially speaking at one in New York City in December, potentially the Urban Land Institute. So really becoming an engaged public speaker is something that I'm trying to accomplish in the next year or two. And how to engage social media. You know, should we create a YouTube channel that's focused on healthcare? You know, a TikTok, which I don't know much about it at all, really. Should we create TikToks on healthcare properties? How to reach your target audience and understanding what social media they use is beneficial as well. So, but maybe not on social media presence, but writing white papers, educated pieces is something my team's focused on, as well as improving our LinkedIn presence, our Instagram presence, and public speaking engagements as well.
That's fantastic. I love it, man. Are you, what books, podcasts or YouTube channels or anything like that would you recommend someone in CRE, paying attention to or consuming, to be successful in the industry?
Sure. I think I went through a sales training process through in-person education and also reading a book called Mastering the Complex Sale. And that was written by a man named Jeff Toole, T-H-U-L-L. And he can really do a lot of education on walking a prospect through an entire sales process from first initial cold call to closing the real estate deal. And how to walk through, you know, a really complex sales process. So I've read that book several times. I've gone to the in-person seminars on that. I read a lot of leadership books from well-known leaders throughout the business community. The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger, who was chairman and CEO at Disney. I read that one recently and really was fascinated by his progression from really working in the mailroom at ABC Studios in New York City, up to becoming, you know, the leader at Disney, and how he became that leader, and how he what challenges he faced on a daily basis. I really read a lot of leadership books. There's a one I think called Cigars and Whiskey by Ulysses S. Grant, and how he became a, you know, a war leader and a president. So reading books like that is very beneficial and educational on how to be a leader, because you eventually want to grow your team and grow your business. And you have to lead not only the prospect and the client, but really lead team members around you as well. So how to be an effective leader. And then I've read, you know, things just in the healthcare side as well. I think there's a book called the Red Circle or the Red Dot, and that's focused on today's version of healthcare and what's happening in healthcare. So really reading books about leadership. And healthcare is what I have focused on. Shoe Dog by Phil Knight was another great book that I've read as well. And then just self-help books for me. I think it's called The Optimist Tour of the Future. I've read that and was really fascinated by how your mindset can be a great benefit to your everyday experience, especially in the complex world of real estate.
So, Craig, those are awesome, by the way. You just named some of the books on my list next. And I read a lot of leadership books, business books, and I just love biographies and entrepreneurships. There is one recent podcast that I came across, which I think you're going to love, absolutely love. Funny enough, social media works because I found this guy on TikTok. He just basically stands there with a book and just highlights things that he learned about a certain biography or a founder or a book he's reading. And it captivated me. And I just kept, you know, TikTok keeps on feeding you more and more and more of the same stuff. And I'm like, okay, who is this guy? And he mentioned that he has a podcast. The podcast is called Founders, like founding a company. And man, I am obsessed with that. So I would highly recommend you listen to that podcast. You're going to love it. It's fantastic. Great. All about leadership, biographies, what they've done. And then he also, when he's talking about a specific person in a book he read, about leadership or entrepreneurship, he's also chiming in with different things he's learned from other books that might be somewhat related. And then you find out so much more books that you want to read and really need insights. So I'll leave you in the audience with that. The If people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Yep, they can call me anytime. They can go on tscgmd.com. That's our website. That's part of the TSCG company. That's really, you can call, email, craig.gambardella@tscg.com. Phone number 203-274-3308. Or, you know, any social media, LinkedIn, is where I'm active as well.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks
so
for
any,
coming.
Any
on.
One of those mediums is fine with me.
Thanks for coming on the pod, man.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. It was fun to be your guest. I appreciate it.
Likewise.